Hi, and welcome back to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. Today, I'm joined by Jonathan de los Arriaga. He is back on the show. We interviewed Jonathan many, many months ago. So go back and listen to those earlier episodes. I'll put those in the show notes. Jonathan is almost a part of the furniture when it comes to the outsourcing industry. He's been in the game almost as long as the game itself. He is currently the president of the Philippine Software Industry Association. He's a board member of IBPAP, which is the Philippine Outsourcing Association, and he is former president of the National ICT Confederation of the Philippines. And of course, he is the CEO of his own venture, which is Spring Valley Tech. And we learn about all of that in this podcast. It's great to have Jonathan on the show. Obviously, he was here a long, long time ago, and a lot of water has passed under the bridge since then, namely coronavirus, for one thing. Jonathan has his ear to the ground with everything outsourcing, so it's great to get his perspective on the industry and the changes that all of this is going through. He has particular insight and expertise in the tech and software verticals of outsourcing. So you'll learn a lot about those and stay tuned for the insights that he has. I really enjoyed my conversation with Jonathan, and I hope you do too. If you want any of the show notes, as always, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today, I am joined by Jonathan de los Arriaga again. I want to start by asking Jonathan to give us an update on the state of the nation in terms of the Philippine IT and tech community and how that's been affected with COVID. Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
Derek, it's always a pleasure to join you here in your show. And, I'm more than glad to actually share some of the experiences that we're going through as a country in terms of the entire IT BPM sector in the software industry as well.
Absolutely. And what are you seeing from your perspective?
So we were all caught by surprise when sometime March 16, if I'm not mistaken, the country was actually put on lockdown. So what we are currently seeing and hearing from the ground is that several businesses in the IT BPM sector had been really adversely affected, mostly because the movement and logistics has really been hampered, and it's quite difficult. The work from home setup was something that the industry has been talking about for quite some time, but we never realized that it's going to be of utmost importance in this particular situation. So the service companies that were more adversely affected than others were especially those who were catering to travel and tourism, the restaurant, hotel business, and airlines. So there's really no formula to understand that better. We know that these particular industries have been affected by the pandemic worldwide, and it somehow translated to the back office support that they're getting from the Philippines. So you know that the industry is very services oriented, and we service practically everyone in the world across different verticals, and that has somehow proven to be quite challenging in this current situation.
And for those, just give us a background, Jonathan. You are the a face of Philippine outsourcing, and a very well established part of the industry today, and also across its formative years. Can you just introduce yourself and your background in the outsourcing industry?
Thanks, Derek. So I've been going at this for more than two decades now. I was formerly part of the IT and Business Processing Association of the Philippines as one of its executive directors in charge of industry affairs. That's one of the reasons why I know practically everyone in the industry, because every time a new locator comes in, they pass through IBPAP and, of course, different government agencies. But I was the first person to actually shake their hand and introduce them to the community. Currently, I am the president of the Philippine Software Industry Association. It's one of the oldest IT BPM sector associations around. We've been around for about 32 years. This is composed of almost 160 of the, you know, formidable software companies operating in the Philippines. This is my sixth year as the president. I don't think anyone likes the job. So I was also formerly the National ICT Confederation of the Philippines president until December of last year. And the NICP is composed of 80 plus ICT councils all over the Philippines. This was actually triggered by, you know, government support to actually develop the countryside, which is also one of the reasons why I am currently located in the countryside.
You were involved with IBPAP, which in many ways was the conduit into the Philippines for many of the enterprise locators and clients, as you said. And you were involved in that at a time in the industry when it was in its explosive growth phase. Can you, you know, just take us back to, I don't want to date you here, but, you know, take us back a few years and kind of explain what the industry was like then and the kind of growth trajectory it was going through.
I don't think I could avoid being dated, Derek, no matter how hard I try. So those were spectacular years for the Philippines. We were looking at about 15-20% year-on-year growth. IBPAP then, as it was known, is the, as you mentioned, is the main conduit. So it's the face of the industry. It's the perfect vehicle for, you know, the public-private approach to growing an industry. Those days, I was basically presenting the Philippine outsourcing value proposition to at least three new locators every day. Every day, I'd like to reiterate that. So most of the brands that you see around that have been hiring a huge number of my countrymen, they're mostly through the efforts of the industry associations, the PSIA included. So those were glory days. And, you know, we could see a lot of growth coming both from new entrants coming in despite the situation. It's not as active as it used to be. And then there's also growth coming from those that have already established their footprint here in the Philippines.
And so you really have your ear to the ground in terms of the industry, the changes in the industry, the struggles that the industry is facing. And of course, you know, the industry and collectively the global economy has probably gone through one of the toughest periods to date. What are you seeing in terms of the industry and how it's coping?
Well, the projections of the strategic plan that we have, which is called Roadmap 2020 to Accelerate PH, it was quite an aggressive. It presented actually quite aggressive goals and targets. Last year was actually quite a stellar year for us, since we more or less outpaced the OFW remittances. So we registered about $25 billion for 2019, and nobody expected what 2020 was going to be like. We now know that, you know, this is going to be one of the challenging years for the outsourcing sector in the Philippines. But what we wanted to achieve was actually, you know, it's always a twofold mission for industry associations. Grow the market, and then grow the market share of the Philippines in terms of outsourcing, and then develop the talent that's going to help support this particular growth. On two sides of the spectrum, we're still pretty much focused on delivering what we promised to the country. But at the same time, you know, there are certain tweaks that we have to put in place so that we could adjust to what is now called the new normal, or I'd rather call it the new business environment.
And for those, you know, less familiar with the industry, how would you describe the industry? It's you know, there's many layers to the onion. There's what I think in the Philippines, most people refer to the industry as call centers, and it's a lot of the enterprise kind of clients that we're in here. 20 years ago. Then there's, you know, the different specialized verticals, which you represent one of them, and it trickles all the way down to, you know, project and freelance kind of work. How would you describe the industry and then how all the pieces click together?
So I think the best way to describe it is describing the associations that form IVPAP. These are the segments that have been around for quite some time who have strategic plans also to grow their particular sector. But rightfully so, you mentioned that every time we discuss about IT BPM or BPO, there's a very strong tendency for this to point to the contact center space. And again, this is due to the fact that they hold the lion's share. So let's start with the contact center industry. Even the name itself has evolved. What was known as call center, call centers, 10, 15 years back, is now known as contact centers because of the multi-touch points that it has added into its arsenal. So we're not just talking about voice here. We're also talking about non-voice, SMS, chat support. And then there's the software side, which I think I've mentioned earlier, that, you know, it's one of the oldest industries, industry sectors under the IT BPM banner. And this is mostly for, you know, servicing foreign requirements all over the world. The software sector is quite unique that it's one of the few segments of the IT BPM industry that would also have a huge share servicing Asia. And in this particular case, it's mostly Japan. Then there's the animation sector. There's the newest one, which is the game development sector. And then an industry that has evolved immensely from its humble roots in terms of medical transcription, it's now called the healthcare information management sector. And last but not the least is actually a segment that validates the viability of the Philippines in terms of outsourcing and offshoring, which is the shared services captive operations, ably represented by a group called GICC, which is the Global In-House Coordinating Center. There are other segments, Derek, that have not yet associated, such as the engineering services outsourcing sector, which is also quite huge. In fact, it services a lot of the requirements coming out of the Middle East, you know, Europe, of course, US and Canada.
The sector that I feel I represent and Outsource Accelerator represents is the small and medium-sized enterprise from the perspective of the client demand. And, you know, that crosses all of these verticals in terms of specialization. Where do you feel the balance is for the industry today in terms of the focus on the big enterprise, which is, you know, a lot of shared services, a lot of call centers, and, you know, the biggest household names in the world, versus the sort of the growing demand of the smaller business overseas that are just now becoming aware of offshore staffing and the opportunities of that?
Thanks for bringing that up, Derek. I actually forgot to mention that very important piece of the equation. There's a growing segment for independent virtual workers. We actually have we coined a very nice term for it. It's the new OFW, or the online Filipino worker. Again, you know, the last numbers that were reported to us is there are about 1.5 million of them with unique accounts doing work for practically everyone in the globe. And, you know, thanks to the pandemic, COVID-19 brought with it a magnifying glass. So it magnified our strengths and also our weaknesses as a nation. But now that everyone's more or less aggressively transitioning to a work-from-home environment, a piece of infrastructure that was not available, you know, even at the tail end of 2019, everyone now has the ability to service requirements because now they have the tools of the trade. They've got the computers, they've got the connectivity, and now the only thing that's really missing are the clients, which slowly but surely we're getting, thanks to efforts of companies like Outsource Accelerator, were being put in the map.
Where are you seeing the growth in the industries? Where are you seeing things flatten off? And where are you seeing the exciting growth across the industry? Because there's quite a narrative in, I believe, the more established part of the industry, the sort of the government departments, the outsourcing has peaked, everything's done and dusted, this is a sunset industry, you know, and at best we can just like sort of retire into old age now. Where do you see the industry going?
Oh, hands down, I think it's going to go the digital route. The entire world is caught in this whirlwind of digital transformation. And I think the Philippines stands to get a very good shot at being a integral player in this particular equation. We see, even from a local standpoint, companies that have been fence-sitting in terms of their digital agenda for the longest time, you know, scrambling, going towards digital. So everything that's offline would now want to be online. You know, this includes, you know, even tried and tested industries like events management and, you know, the creative arts. Everyone's going and scrambling to the online mode. And, you know, I actually wrote a white paper about this. In the first chapter was what I call ADD, which is the accelerated digital disruption. And this gives birth to the hyper-connected enterprise, Derek. So everyone wants to be connected from an online perspective now, because apparently with the impediments when it comes to movement, this is the only route that businesses could actually take to reach out to their customers.
And where do you see the national development in terms of the technology layer that is the infrastructure for this industry? There is a big push and support from the government to get these second and third wave cities, you know, fast internet, good connections, and the kind of infrastructure they need to become global players. Where are you seeing that happen?
Although it's too late, you know, I oftentimes tell people that, you know, we're late coming into the party. But, you know, the old adage, it's better late than never, actually comes into mind. So we've lined up a couple of ducks already that's pointing in that direction. So one of them is actually the creation of the newest government agency, which is the Department of Information Communications Technology. So now that we have a central agency that could direct the traffic in terms of, you know, all the movements on this particular space, you know, that could prove to be very beneficial to the nation. Second is in terms of policy. You know, we've actually created two laws that are pointing towards technology and innovation. And I'm talking about the Startup Act and the Innovation Act. So these two could basically fuel the move for the Philippines to go knee deep into its own digital agenda. And last but not the least, which is not really mentioned in many of the discussions surrounding this, is that from a leadership perspective, we could see a lot of very, very young, tech-savvy local government, you know, even in Congress and in the Senate, that truly understand the value of digital in what it could bring to the table as far as the country's economy is concerned. So hopefully all of these things put together will create a wave of appreciation and support for the IT BPM sector as it transitions itself from the usual, you know, vanilla flavored services into more higher value services.
There was a recent Goldman Sachs report giving a silver lining to the recession that we're going into and the COVID that we've faced, saying that, you know, in 2000 and 2008, the last global recessions, outsourcing services did really well. And the reason for that is because they're counter-cyclical. Outsourcing allows clients to save money, which is critical when the economy is tight. Have you had direct experience of the 2000 and 2008 growth periods? And do you see that could be, you know, in store for 2020 and beyond?
So again, not to date myself, but yes, I did have a firsthand experience in terms of those two recessions. And obviously, the first chapter of any CFO's book, when you want to cut costs, is, you know, why don't we check out outsourcing, right? And we're seeing the same thing now. In fact, I'm in touch with several clients who aggressively put up their footprint here in the Philippines, despite all of the challenges. And, you know, I was trying my best to manage their expectations, but I'm surprised that the leadership of these two very well-established companies in the U.S. Are, you know, very eager to actually put up their shop here in the Philippines, primarily because, you know, with all of these challenges affecting the different verticals and the, you know, different types of businesses, the excellence of the Filipino talent in terms of delivering these services has not been hampered. So I think that's still the main reason why outsourcing found its way in the country. And you must recall that when the first wave of outsourcing came into the Philippines, we were not prepared from it from a policy and infrastructure standpoint. And those things just followed because of the promise that was being presented at the end of the tunnel. So I think that's also the same experience that we're going through right now. It's just that we need to really hold on to you know, our most precious asset, which is the Filipino talent.
I think that there's a perfect storm brewing for the opportunity for outsourcing in the Philippines. And, you know, in 2000, I can only imagine it would have been really difficult to set up you know, an account here in the Philippines to get a department of a company to start outsourcing. There were technical barriers, there were distance barriers, cultural barriers, and a lot of that friction has been removed now. And, you know, I've said this on the podcast quite often, but, you know, imagine having coronavirus 20 years ago, you wouldn't have been able to so quickly and efficiently switch to work from home. You know, there was virtually nothing on the cloud back then. Everything was in paper. So I think it is, you know, it's a lucky time to be forced into this work from home and remote environment. And I think that's just potentially a fantastic catalyst for getting people to explore outsourcing when previously they've maybe written it off as being a little bit too complex. And, you know, of course, there's the added incentive of the abundant talent, as you say, and of course the cost savings that come with that. Do you see the times different now? I can only imagine 2000, it was pretty tough to get an account set up. This podcast is brought to you by Outsource Accelerator. We are the world's leading outsourcing marketplace and advisory. We help big and small businesses with their outsourcing needs, and we can help you too. We cover everything from business and staffing strategy, optimal outsourcing structures, implementations, and fully managed services. If you're already outsourcing, about to start, or somewhere in between, then we can ensure that you get the best from outsourcing. That's the best prices, best terms, and of course, the best results from your outsourcing practices. We list over 700 outsourcing suppliers on our website, host this leading outsourcing podcast, and have over 5,000 pages of content. Because we span the entire market, we can ensure that you get the best deal possible. We offer everything from light brokerage, co-managed services, through to fully managed solutions. Get in touch today. Visit us at outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Mention that you're a podcast listener, and we will give you special attention plus a 10% discount. This is for a limited time only. Go to outsourceaccelerator.com/quote.
I would have to agree with you, Derek, that you know, it in as much as we don't wish for COVID-19 to arrive, but it couldn't have come in at a better time in our country's history. Infrastructure is slowly improving. The workforce is relatively young. That's why they're perfectly okay to actually, you know, render their services from their respective homes, as long as there's a decent internet connection and they've got the tools of the trade. And from an offshoring and outsourcing perspective, I think it's also important to note that the traditional markets, mostly US and Canada and Europe and Australia and New Zealand, they're quite familiar with this story already. And they've seen the benefits. Some of them have reaped the benefits of outsourcing immensely. And this is already part of their agenda. It's not as if we're telling the story from the first page, right? So now it just magnifies the importance of having this in your approaches in terms of, you know, keeping your head above water and eventually growing your business.
And what are your thoughts in terms of the competitive landscape? You know, it seemed for a long time when there were lots of barriers that sort of Philippines and India established themselves as the global leaders, which is great. But now that there's less barriers, you know, we're hearing more about nearshoring to the Americas, which is sort of South and Central America. We're hearing a lot about Vietnam, other parts of Southeast Asia, Eastern Europe becoming, you know, an outsourcing destination. Are you worried that the Philippines might just sort of sink into obscurity with all this competition?
I'm glad you brought it up, because the pandemic is actually the great equalizer. So I used to be very envious of countries with very large populations, primarily because even as a market, you know, it's very viable. It's very attractive for, you know, multinational companies to actually establish shop there. But now I think the more numbers that you have is actually more disadvantageous, which gives opportunities for smaller nations, including those in the Eastern Bloc and, you know, Latin America. But the good thing about this is that from a promotion standpoint and from a talent development standpoint, we've been going at this for more than two decades already, Derek. So I'm quite certain that despite a very young workforce, in terms of adjusting to the opportunities that the current situation presents, I think the Philippines is in a very good pole position. However, that being said, we can't keep our, you know, we can't lower our guards, because every other nation out there also realizes the benefits that outsourcing could give them as a country. And, you know, it's imperative that we constantly bang on the drum and tell the entire world that the Philippines is open for business, although it's a little bit of a different model now, because mostly people who establish footprints here, even the larger ones who have been around for quite some time, have successfully transitioned to a work from home model. And you know, that in itself might produce some challenges in terms of coordination and communications. But then again, the bottom line is, the message is very clear. The Philippines is open for business for the IT BPM sector. And I think we will be for the next years to come.
In terms of the movement to work from home, I'm personally really concerned about the commercial property market, offices, and cities generally. You know, are we going to get a hollowing out of cities, which could then also cause sort of an economic weakness? But also, do you think it weakens the value proposition of outsourcing and BPOs? Because it seems that part of the value proposition has always been the environment, the office, you know, and hand in hand with that is the sort of the culture and the Christmas parties they throw. If there is a move towards work from home, do you think it weakens the value proposition of part of outsourcing?
At the onset, the very direct answer is yes. However, I think most of the companies that have been operating in the Philippines know the lay of the land. You know, being in the Philippines also presents a set of challenges, Derek. And you've been here for quite some time, so I might be preaching to the choir, but your listeners may not be that much aware. So, you know, we've been visited by storms, natural disasters, and so on and so forth. So disaster recovery and business continuity is really part of the Philippine outsourcing company's Bible. And it just basically accelerated as well the move to other locations. So With that being the case, I'm currently sitting here in Iloilo while we're doing this interview. And, you know, here, ITBPM companies here are more or less operating business as usual, save for the, you know, additional constraints that have been mandated by government. But again, you know, the ITBPM sector is quite unique that it produces a ripple effect across several other industries. And one of the most one of the sectors that have gained significantly from this is actually the real estate sector. Now that has to change, and I think more or less the prices of rentals have normalized because we've seen an abnormal growth thanks to, you know, the entry of another segment which is not really part of the ITBPM segment, which is the which is the gambling operators, mostly coming from the mainland, from China. And now things have more or less normalized on the real estate front. Some friends of ours who are authorities in the real estate sector are saying that, you know, there's going to be a second wind for the real estate segment. The Philippine Economic Zone Authority, who more or less manages most of the larger ITBPM operators, real estate infrastructure, is asking us when we're going to go back to work, because primarily some of the other segments are you know really adversely affected, such as restaurants, transportation, you know, even entertainment places. And you know, in as much as they've been very supportive of the work from home environment, we're actually allowed, those operating in PESA zones are actually allowed to do work from home to about 90% of their total workforce. And that's going to stick until the end of the year and maybe renewed again for 2021, depending on the situation. But at the same time, they're also asking us, when are you going to go back? And I think it is in every Filipino's heart to actually go, you know, try to get to normal as close as possible. And those who could actually afford to do so, and mostly in the contact center space, are slowly but surely getting their people back in. There's a very special reason for that, Derek. We work with a very young workforce, right? They want to see each other. They want to dress up. They want to talk to each other during breaks. That's the ITBPM business environment that has, you know, created the appeal for the younger generation to actually join this particular industry. And, you know, industry leadership has been fighting tooth and nail to get back to that as, or as close to that as possible without compromising the health of our workers.
Yeah, I can only hope that's the case. You know, I think we have to have a positive motivation towards people getting back into the office. I think the benefits of work from home are kind of overhyped, and I think people were initially happy about work from home because it was a bit of a novelty and you cut down on commuting. But I think long term, it's not good. It's not good for the younger workers to sort of build their discipline and you know, kind of generate a career in the formative years. So I can only hope that there is a movement and momentum back towards the office.
I just like to add one more piece. There's some sort of a phenomenon that's happening, you know. The larger operators that could afford to do so are looking for work bubbles wherein people could actually stay there already and work and interface, you know, without any fear of contracting COVID-19, because, you know, it's much easier if it's a controlled environment. And that presents a very unique opportunity to other places in the Philippines outside of the main cities, as long as they've got the necessary infrastructure, both in terms of facilities and connectivity. This might trigger the intention of organizations like NICP to evenly distribute as much as it could business opportunities in the outsourcing sector.
Yeah, that's a very valid point, isn't it? I think there's a downside now to concentration of people. And there is a strength in having things, you know, more broadly distributed. And I think that, you know, I'm sure co-working spaces that were popular about 2 years ago are really hurting right now. I think they're just absolutely empty. But I think in the medium term, they could become a critical part of the puzzle because, you know, you can have offices distributed throughout a city or country without actually needing the full investment into the infrastructure. Will be fascinating to watch. JDL, as well, you touched on the OFWs, which is the overseas foreign workers, and, you know, the BPO industry. For those that aren't aware, the OFWs, the overseas foreign workers, are a huge part of the Philippine economy, and so is the BPO industry. And it's quite a unique sort of economic situation for the Philippines because, you know, I'm rounding up, but maybe 25% of the country's GDP is constituted by the OFWs and BPO. And what's interesting about that is both of those sectors are not really reliant on the economic welfare of the Philippines. They're reliant on the economic welfare of the countries that the clients are sitting or the OFWs are placed. And it provides quite an interesting safety net, I think, because you're really distributing the risk, you're distributing all of the sort of the economic well-being across the entire globe. The BPO industry, for example, is really sort of healthy if the US, the UK, all of these major economies is healthy. So, and I think it's reflecting in a strong Philippine economy at the moment, as strong as it can be, obviously considering COVID, but it's building quite a unique economic environment for the Philippines, isn't it? And, you know, hopefully that will continue to grow.
Well, if you look at the lay of the land there, it's tourism, IT BPM sector, the manufacturing sector, and then the OFWs who have, you know, successfully and consistently provided an anchor for the Philippine economy. And going through that list, you know that some are more badly hit than others. And a lot of pressure is actually being put on the shoulders of the IT BPM sector to save the day for the Philippine economy.
And JDL, you're not just serving the community; you have a lot of your own interests and you know, business activities. Do you want to give us an update on you know, where you see opportunities at the moment and what you're involving yourself in?
So, as I mentioned earlier, there's now opportunities for smaller locations. No matter how well-known or popular or unpopular they are, to take a stab at all of the opportunities that have been presented by the pandemic. One such opportunity is my own firm, which is called Spring Valley. I'm actually attempting to do a smaller version of Silicon Valley in the US, here in the Philippines, wherein, you know, people from different influences could actually gather and, you know, discuss, develop and deploy technology and innovations. So I chose a place in Negros. It's called Bago City. We're developing an 11-hectare property that is just really geared towards technology and innovation. So it's almost like the best way to describe it, Derek, is like it's a technology Disneyland, right? So true to what I just said earlier about creating a work bubble, particular facilities like this would basically present this to possible locators. So we've got a technology school that's going to be put up, and then several office spaces for people who want to belong to such an environment wherein, you know, we're constantly looking at new ways to address problems both locally and globally. So we, even during this time of the pandemic, since the software sector is more or less online even before the pandemic hit the Philippines, we've launched several innovations already. One of them is actually ClearPass. So if you've been going around, and hopefully you're wearing your mask and you're in full battle regalia, Derek, I'm pretty sure you're familiar with the practice of, you know, getting a pen and paper and signing up and filling up all of these health declaration forms. So one such innovation that comes out of Spring Valley right now is called ClearPass. So it basically just digitizes the entire experience. You know, people are going to go to a particular supermarket or restaurant would be given a link so that they could generate their QR code, and the gatekeeper, or in the case of the Philippines, the security guard, would just need to scan that particular QR code in order for you to gain entry. The other one is we're dabbling really deep into the electricity industry. So we created a solution called RNB, which is Read and Bill. I don't know how they do it there from where you're staying, Derek, but mostly in other parts of the country, they still deploy people to actually read electric and water meters. And we basically digitized that as well. So a lot of exciting times. You know, the lesson learned here is that in as much as, you know, there have been things that there are things that have been hampered in terms of your regular business strategy, it also presents a lot of opportunities. And
yeah, it must be an interesting time. I've seen you, you know, over the years, innovate a lot and come up with a lot of fantastic innovations and initiatives. And I think the Philippines is an interesting sandpit for that, because there's you know, it's a vibrant young country. It's a burgeoning high growth economy. And there's technology out there in different countries that can enable you to sort of leapfrog the developments in the Philippines. Yeah, so it's a fantastic country for launching new ideas and kind of leapfrogging existing norms, I suppose.
So a lot of people all over the world call the Philippines the perfect petri dish for a lot of technologies to be launched, right? Including those that are, you know, on the much higher layer of the scale, such as AI, machine learning. I'm seeing a lot more vibrancy in terms of companies trying to do that. You know, we talked about the virtual assistants piece a while ago. Let me just give a lay of the land in terms of the startup ecosystem as well. So now, as I mentioned, the pandemic is the great equalizer, not only for nations, but for companies as well. So, you know, even the smaller startups that have been working on their piece for, you know, the past 1 year, 2 years, you could see a lot of take up at this particular time in our history. Those that have been dabbling in learning management systems and, you know, communications and delivery systems, they're all getting significant traction because of the opportunities that COVID-19 has presented.
Yeah, it is. It's you know, as you say, it's the great reset. It's a great releveler, because I think very established monoliths, you know, could really be struggling, and it's giving opportunity for small green shoots of regrowth to show through. And it is amazing, isn't it, that people continually innovate and see opportunities and rebuild. It's quite exciting to see.
It's a very nice way how you placed it, you know, green shoots coming out of the ground that are now given a better opportunity because, you know, the entire world just rebooted.
Yeah, and we can only hope that there is that regrowth, yeah. And just looping back around then to the industry, JDL, you are very involved in the industry, and a large sort of part of your involvement is the promotion of the industry and attendance at events, expos, conferences, and you know, that whole aspect of the industry has stopped. It's died and it's gone online. But you know, how are you seeing the efforts of the outsourcing industry in terms of its reaching out to the clients, in terms of promotion of the industry, in terms of finding alternatives to conferences and things to continue to get the word out there and to connect with people and continue to promote the outsourcing industry. Where are you seeing sort of, well, what's the update on that with the COVID perspective, and where are you seeing the efforts go?
So again, we can't rest on our laurels in terms of the Philippines' reputation and pole position in this particular environment. In as much as all face-to-face and physical events have stopped, there's been some level of activity in terms of the coordination between the public and the private sectors. And this particular activity holds true for our industry as well. The Department of Trade and Industry through the Board of Investments, and there's a particular group called the Foreign Trade Services Corps. All of our trade representatives all over the world are quite busy trying to make all of these matches. And, you know, there's an upside to all of this, which is also considered as a downside for some. Now, the moment you wake up is actually the moment that you're at work, right? So there's no more constraints in terms of, you know, how to reach you and how you could actually reach out to potential clients. So, you know, my schedule for this particular week has been upside down, primarily because I'm catering to particular consulting engagements with companies in the U.S. They're on Pacific time, so the usual discussions would be around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, Manila. And I'm pretty certain that this is happening all across the Philippines as well, primarily those who have long-term contracts already with their respective clients. But as far as the potency of promoting the Philippines as an outsourcing destination, I think there's no let up as far as our government trade representatives are concerned. In fact, you know, for the PSIA, we just had several events with our Taiwanese counterparts. We're also participating with one in China. We're planning a very aggressive business matching session with the Japanese companies. And of course, the traditional markets, which is US, Europe, you know, Australia, New Zealand. We've got our own smaller, watered down version of interactions. Of course, all of this being online.
Yeah, and again, you know, that's just joining the crowds, migrating online now, isn't it? It's becoming such a normal part of interaction, and it is amazing again to see the innovation of just people figuring out how to do conferences online, how to network online, and how to build those connections. So fantastic! Well, I can't wait to see you in another conference live again, JDL. I just hope we do return to some sort of normality sooner rather than later. If anyone wants to get in touch with you or know any more about your numerous activities, how can they do that?
So they could visit the Spring Valley website at the www.springvalley.tech, or they could just drop me an email at jdl@springvalley.tech. So it, you know, if there's any questions regarding this particular podcast, or anyone would just want to reach out and know more about the industry or what Spring Valley is doing, just feel free to drop me a note. Thanks for the opportunity to put my coordinates out there, Derek.
No, absolutely. And I do encourage anyone to get in touch with JDL if you want to connect with the industry, because he really is very much embedded into every aspect of the industry. And we'll, of course, put those contact details in the show notes. Thanks so much, JDL.
Derek, thank you so much. And thank you for doing what you're doing for the Philippines. The country needs more people like you. I'm really hoping that one of these days, as the dust settles, we could have that long discussion over coffee again, as we usually do. And you know, for everyone that's listening, I wish everyone good health and safety, and hoping to see each other personally soon, sooner rather than later. Thanks again, Derek.
That is Jonathan de Lizarriaga, otherwise known as JDL. If you want any of the show notes, please go to outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. And as always, if you want to reach out to us, send us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.